News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at KTSMradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And good morning. It's November 28, 2020, and we're live on KTSM AM 690, as well as live on Facebook. We are now streaming, about to be streaming, I'm told, on Facebook, and we're going to be doing that on a regular basis. So if you want to see what this looks like once we get the camera finally hooked up, is the audio going out there? The audio is going out on Facebook, but we'll get the camera cooked up in a minute or two. Anyway, El Paso History Radio Show, we are here. Me, Jackson, Melissa's on assignment, actually on a personal assignment because she's got kids out there somewhere, so she's talking to them. Anyway, we're live streaming on the internet, like always, ktsmradio.com, and as I mentioned, the facebook.com. We are also going to be at facebook.com/talkelpaso. I've got to get used to a camera in the room live because I'm not normally doing that. Radio I can handle. Cameras is like, okay, what is that? Another dimension here. We're going to get used to it because basically we're going to be doing this from now on. We did a streaming last week with the Leon Metz tribute. As an experiment, and we've already had 3,700 plus people look at that recording. Because see, once it goes on Facebook, the recording stays on Facebook. It's an interesting thing there. The archive is there. We're still doing the archives over on the ephistory.com for the audio. But now we've got this added Facebook archive, and that's the other reason to do it. So we'll get to that all in a minute or two. We're going to find ourselves on KTSM Radio 690, like I mentioned. Also, it's the iHeart link you can listen to live all over the planet on ktsmradio.com. And you can send Pepe's Mexican food across the U.S. Be sure you do that. Think about that for a Christmas gift or just a fun thing to do. I've sent stuff to Pennsylvania and Delaware. It works well. You can send a Tex-Mex dinner down out to a friend. And if you don't tell them it's coming, it's kind of a surprise. Anyway, also, for the holiday season, Mission Del Rey open on Saturdays. Today is Good Saturday, or shall we say Black Saturday. And they're doing that open thing at Mission Del Rey because you can get some really great deals out there. There's a $20 radio show coupon for online orders, but also 20% off. Think about that. You walk into Mission Del Rey, 20% off. Call them up for directions, 440-2140. And that's an interesting thing they'll do between now and they're going to do every Saturday. But the special, I believe, is basically today. Okay, we're going to have a history moment with Melissa. And it's about Father Pinto, that's a subject we're on today, and how he was kidnapped in Juarez. And that was a very unusual thing and how that turned out. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, ephistory690@gmail.com. We will take calls, 915-544-KTSM. But we're going to talk to a guy right now who's a historian in El Paso, and his name is Sam Sanchez. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Take it off a speakerphone if you can. You have an echo out there in the real world, if that's possible for the way you operate there. But we're going to talk about Father Pinto today. This was an idea you had, and talking about Father Pinto, who basically was one of those early people in El Paso. We had a lot of people that helped establish the city and things that we do. But he was the Catholic priest, a Jesuit, came in the 1890s, established many of the local Catholic churches here. He's buried in Concordia. And, Sam, tell us what you want us to know about that.
Okay, so I'm going to have to do the best that I can in 1 hour that my research was actually composed for 2 hours, and it was cut back 1 hour, but I hope that eventually in the second hour I'll be able to feed in some information that is very important relating to Father Pinto and the nuns and all that into El Paso.
Oh, definitely, Sam. We're going to have you on for 2 hours, but the second hour got glommed onto by a major event. As you know, Father Pinto established Sacred Heart Church, and now Sacred Heart, as of 10 days ago, has just announced there's a major fundraiser to renovate the church. So we've got the Padre Garcia coming on with Max Grossman with the Trost Society, and They're going to talk about the renovation stuff. But we expect you to stick around second hour and throw your 2 cents in where you can on that, if you don't mind. So go ahead and tell us about Father Pinto.
That's for me?
Yes, sir. Sam.
Okay, here you go. The best of the North, it was called at this day, and it is still known as El Paso, the name that Juan de Oñate called it in 1598. It was known as El Rancho de Ponce in 1841 when Carlos Pinto was born in Salerno, Italy. At the age of 9, young Carlos enrolled in the College of the Jesuit Fathers in the city of Salerno. He asked to be admitted into the novitiate of the Society of Jesus in 1855 at the age of 14. The Revolution of 1860 drove the Jesuits out of Naples. He was sent to France and then to Spain to study. While Carlos was pursuing his studies in Spain, the Second Plenary Council of the Baltimore, which had been called together for a meeting by the Most Reverend Martin Spalding, had come to a close. The prelates in attendance selected the Most Reverend John B. Lamy, Bishop of Santa Fe, New Mexico, to present the decision of the assembly to the Holy See. Bishop Lamy had long desired to secure missionaries from the Society of Jesus for his best diocese. Father Pinto arrived in El Paso on May 11 of 1892. Although he was a latecomer, he set to work at once to purchase lots on which to erect a new church to be dedicated to the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. As soon as the transaction had been completed, he bought another site which was to be used for the Sacred Heart Church and school. The contract for these buildings was awarded to Richard Caples on July 25th of 1892. Richard Caples was a prominent Catholic layman and one of the most outstanding contractors in the El Paso. He was serving as the mayor of El Paso at the time. And Father Pinto realized the great need for a Catholic church in South El Paso, but he felt that the education of the children of this district was far the greater need. Father Pinto, therefore, urged the contractor to push the construction of the school first and as quickly as possible, as he wished to open the great school about the middle of October. The walls of the new school rose rapidly, and as the young Carlos saw them nearing completion, he was confronted with another problem: teachers for the school. Where could he secure these sisters to staff this new project? He had witnessed the labor of the Sisters of Loreto at the foot of the cross with the Spanish-speaking children of New Mexico, Colorado, and San Elizario, Texas. He also knew that their numbers were very limited, as they were a comparatively new religious foundation. Then, too, there was many demands for their services in the Southwest because of the terror and hardships of the frontier, and seemed to hold no fear for them. Now, I'm going to have to elaborate on the Sisters of Loreto, if I may.
Yeah, they ended up in San Elizario for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, well, actually, here it comes. They came in 1852 to establish learning institutions for the children of the Southwest. Summoned by Bishop J.B. Lamy of Santa Fe, the Sisters of Loreto traveled through treacherous territory, guided only by divine providence and the determination to arrive at their destination. Their trip had begun in Loreto, Kentucky, where their order was formed in 1812 and where the convent was located. They boarded a steamboat which took them up the Mississippi to St. Louis, Missouri, from there to Independence. There, they arranged to join a group of pioneer travelers in a caravan of covered wagons traveling to New Mexico Territory. Their journey west on the Santa Fe Trail was not easy. After weeks of struggles and fears, broken axles and wheels, sites of dried to shark bones in scorching days, the group finally arrived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It became quite evident that if the sisters were to fulfill the intentions of the bishop, they would need a convent and a school. Mexican carpenters began to build for the sisters. After the school was finished, it was called Laredo Academy. As settlements grew in population and became towns, the need for other schools in other places became clear. More nuns were needed, and so the Santa Fe Trail was the choice route of travelers. The Santa Fe Trail was formed by migrating buffalo herds and the Plain Indians hunting after them. After the prospectors, known as the 49ers, used the trail on their way to the gold fields in California. So Nelisario already enjoyed a public school like other large towns, was in need of a school for girls. In 1879, the parish priest in San Elisario, the Reverend Peter Borgate, requested a colony of Sisters of Laredo for his school. He obtained 5 sisters. They arrived the later part of 1879. Traveling from Santa Fe to Las Cruces and on to San Elisario was a bit risky. The Apache Victorio on his rampage of destruction and vengeance was just happened to be in the area. When the sisters arrived, the dust of the Salt War controversy was still settling around San Elisario. Furthermore, the Lesbos Montes Rangers were busy out on the field following Apaches to recover stolen livestock. The daring breakout of the notorious Marquez Cerruda from the jail was still fresh on people's minds. The county seat had recently been lost to the growing city of El Paso. The floods ruined most of the adobe houses. Even the old church building had crumbled. The Sisters of Laredo had their work cut out for them.
Where were they?
Sisters of Laredo.
Yeah, Sam, where were they in San Elisario? Where did they house?
They had a school already for girls over there in San Elisario. They had an old building that's no longer there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Portales, but it wasn't. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. The Sisters of Laredo were determined to succeed in their endeavor. They managed to establish their school in an old house provided for them. With a lot of hard work and the help of the community, they opened St. Joseph's College and Academy. The Academy flourished until 1892 when it was transferred to the city of El Paso. It is now known as Laredo Academy School for Girls. And then from there, we go to the Sacred Heart building here.
Well, let me ask you something, Sam. Sam Sanchez is on the phone here with us from San Elisario, historian, talking about Father Pinto. How does that Sister Loretta crowd relate to Father Pinto?
Oh, it's very important because when he finished his school in the Sacred Heart, he needed teachers. And he knew about the nonsense on the Elisario, so he requested the director of the San Elisario
the convent or whatever.
So they agreed to move.
Okay, so that
to El Paso. Eventually, everything was moved to El Paso. You know.
So it was Father Pinto who actually got them to move to El Paso to become his teacher. Okay, I get it. All right, Sam, we're going to take a break here. Sam Sanchez is on the phone. If you're watching on Facebook, you'll see Sam. We picked a picture of you looking like a cowboy there, Sam. I don't know if you can see that on TV or not, but it's on Facebook right now. We are streaming this live on Facebook. Second time. Last time was what we did was for Leon. Sam, hold on a minute. We do have a call we're going to take here from Johnny. Johnny, thank you for ringing up. Good morning. Johnny, we got you on the radio. Oh, Johnny, will you cut the delay off of Johnny? Did we lose Johnny?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are, Johnny. So what's on? You had a comment about the show we did last week.
Oh, I was very, very, very impressed. I usually, when I listen to you guys, I start my morning off, you know, listen to you guys and running errands, you know, in and out of the car and all the way up to 12 o'clock. But you spoil it. I did not leave the house. I was riveted to the radio the whole 2 hours.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was vintage Leon,
what,
you know.
What got me was how you talk. Matter of fact, you talk about things. Well, I mean, you brought up things that I had forgotten about, you know, about what he had done in the past and so forth.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Leon Matz, of course.
Right.
And a couple of things. Talking about how he would be able to work around some of these hecklers, you know, that always thought they knew more than him. And
yeah.
We had a situation like that. We invited him, my former employer, and I invited him to the Chamizal to give a little history about the treaty between Mexico and United States in 63. And somebody got up and said that wasn't true, and I liked how he handled it. You know, he said, well, you might be right, young man. He said, but I'm giving it in a quarter of Leon Metz. It's just the way it happened.
Oh, yeah. No, Leon was a vintage historian and a storyteller, Johnny. Tell you what, in the future, we're going to probably have another show where we ask those kind of phone calls to come in, and you're reminiscing about Leon. Last week, we had wall-to-wall Leon, as you heard. And by the way,
if you
want to hear that again, we put that on as an audio file on ephistory.com. You can go to archives there. But now, when we do this on Facebook Live like we're doing this show, you can go to Facebook and click on the old show. It shows up just like you heard it the first time. So there's that to think. And, Johnny, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you. You take care. We'll take call 544-5876. Taking a break here, Sam. Cool your jets for a minute. We'll come back and talk about more El Paso history with Sam Sanchez. Back in just a moment.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. El Paso now has a countywide curfew order in place from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. daily through Monday, November 30th. County elected officials are asking borderland residents not to gather in groups of more than 10 or with those from outside their household in order to limit the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Two city testing sites remain open for Thanksgiving, and all area testing sites are reopening on Black Friday. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe. And most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Go back to a simpler time with Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker Christmas Stream. Gather the family for the essential Christmas tradition and enjoy a Christmas party from your living room. Peek backstage and into the wings for a never-before-seen look into the show and the artists that make it happen. Get your stream now at MoscowBallet.com. Make it a Christmas party for the family. And get your stream now at MoscowBallet.com.
Since 2004, men choose Andro 400 for one reason. Results.
It has really worked. I've lost 35 pounds. It's just unbelievable. I never lost weight like that easily in my life.
Congratulations, Stephen, on losing 35 pounds. Now, listen to Leonard's results.
So when I went to my doctor, I was telling him about your product, Andro 400, and he said that it was okay for me to take it. So I started taking it. I just came back from the doctor yesterday. I'm down to 190 from 236, and he told me to continue to doing what I'm doing.
Outstanding, Leonard, losing 46 pounds. Guys, if achieving results like losing belly fat, gaining energy, and improving testosterone levels are what you're looking for, then get Andro 400. We guarantee the results. Start today and get free shipping. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com. andro400.com.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here. Melissa's out for the day, and she'll be back next week. We got some comments already on the Facebook page. We're streaming live on Facebook. Second time ever, and we'll keep doing this. That's the plan. We got Rod Caldwell saying, I really like the live stream. Good show. Thank you for that. It's a little more difficult to do television and radio at the same time. And in my history, I did television first, and radio was the second thing. This is reverse, so we're getting better at this. And thank you for Andrew J. Polk. And they're engineering the whole thing, running around kind of crazy. But we'll be back with Sam in a minute. Sam, we're coming up with about a three-minute segment for you, and then we have another break. But let me just in the meantime, before we get to that, I got to tell people we're on ephistory690@gmail.com. If you want to send that to me, I'm looking at it right here. YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, is also a place where you can find an awful lot of television about El Paso. We have our El Paso Gold DVD series on there, plus the ABC 7 segments we did with Bernie Sargent. There's 20 of those. So you go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, all kinds of stuff there. It's a free channel, and you can search El Paso History TV once you get on YouTube. A recent subscriber, Murray Voigt, November 21st, a comment on El Paso's Mission Trail. That's a video on there. Last Day Travel came on 11/27/20, a comment on the video about the Mission Trail. Can't wait to explore the missions. Thank God for sending the Catholics. Well, that's appropriate for today, because that's basically our story today. And Sam, being what it is on the history of all the things we're talking about in El Paso, talk about for a minute, if you probably have a plan you're going to get to, and like I said, we have about a three-minute segment here. The idea that Father Pinto came and did what he did, he'd been around a bit, and he showed up in El Paso on assignment, and he really took this place by storm. He created a church in Juarez. He created a whole bunch of churches in El Paso by buying the property and building the building. What a guy, huh?
Something else, though. But there were several things that were bothering him, or resting heavy on his mind, and that was the city, local politics.
Oh.
Democrat Mayor Richard Caples and the Republicans falling into obscurity, the Democrats made the first real gesture towards reform. Brought by the Law and Order League, the council passed on an ordinance to restrain gambling and prostitution and put the harness in the process of Utah Street.
Yeah.
Now, Utah Street was actually the red zone district. The councilmen were pretty well agreed that these establishments go on anyhow in spite of the Law and Order League, and that the city should get the revenue. He still didn't want to lose the revenue, of course. And Father Pinto continued to hope and pray that he might be able to secure at least four from the community, four nuns for the community to staff his new school, which was dedicated to the Sacred Heart, feeling confident that he who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," would find a way to make things possible. The plan of divine providence for staffing the Sacred Heart School in El Paso began to unfold itself in 1879, when at the request of Reverend Peter Borgate, then pastor of the San Isidro Church, requested five sisters of Loreto at the foot of the cross to open St. Joseph's Academy in the town of San Isidro. The man who handled the negotiations was the Reverend Peter Borgate, who replaced Padre Antonio Borrajo, who was moved across the river, most unwillingly, I have to say here, to the parish of Guadalupe when the American Bank was taken from the jurisdiction of the Bishop of Durango in 1877 and placed in the Diocese of Tucson. Yeah, and so the school at this time was upgraded, and the sisters were expected to teach as many subjects as they could and as long as they could manage to have the attention of the students. In spite of the many obstacles the sisters have felt, they must move ahead steadily but gradually and arouse in the children a desire for an education. It was a very slow process, but as the years advanced, it was thought desirable to open the high school, which the sisters had foreseen would soon be necessary.
What was the name of the high school?
The St. Joseph's Academy.
Okay. And there was a Jesuit high school in El Paso for a long time. I remember when I was a child growing up, there was a...
The Jesuit high school that was out there, they had quite an operation there. I forgot, Yarbrough, somewhere around that area.
Yeah.
There, Romaland and Yarbrough.
Interesting
and
history.
They had a dairy, and they had all kinds of stuff. It was run by the brothers of the Jesuits, actually.
You know, at some point, either you explain it or our guest in the second hour, and I'm sorry we had to cut off your part in a second. We had to add to your second hour because of the Sacred Heart Church fundraisers hit the fan, and they're going to renovate the building, so that's kind of why we did that. But as far as it goes in the second hour, we have a Jesuit coming on. He's Rafael Garcia. He actually runs that Sacred Heart Church now, along with Max Grossman. But also, just to let you know, if people want to see Sam Sanchez in his fine bandana and cowboy hat, we've got him up on Facebook right now as part of the live picture. And, Sam, you're looking good there as a cowboy, I must tell you. You were a reenactor for a long time, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And what was the name of the reenactor group?
The Desperados of San Elizario. It started by we took off after my father's reenacting on the first commissioner's court, and then we kept up skits to do reenactments of historical events that happened there in San Elizario. And
we had
a lot of fun doing that.
And your children now took it up, and they're grown adults, and they now do it still occasionally. So you've got Ray, Sam, and Vince. So those are the and Christina's your other child. That's is that the four kids you have?
Yeah, and then Ray is the one that organized the group.
Oh yeah,
and we had it. We went all over the place performing.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys, it was a great group. But the big thing, I mean, also, I know Vince is in the Montalcino is a big. So you guys there, the Sanchez group in San Elizario, have always been forefront in promoting area history. And I thank you for that. We got to take another break here, Sam. So gauge yourself accordingly. Maybe we come back and talk about some of the churches that Father Pinto established, because it wasn't just Sacred Heart. He did, like I say, one in Juarez and a couple other around here. So hold yourself there for a minute. We'll take a call, 544-KTSM, or look at us on the ephistory690@gmail.com. Email if you like. And also comments on Facebook. We've got Vince Sanchez. Hey, Dad, good to see you there. And Greg Rosen, awesome format. And Melissa is actually watching in Texas somewhere. And Michael Potta, thank you for Michael Potta's watching from Dallas. So you got an audience out there, Sam. Hold on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high-interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick and loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter. License in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Research Raccoon can answer any question about your business for less than you'd think. From a new product to a small tweak on a proven winner, Research Raccoon gives you U.S.-based data you can put to use that day. Plus, it's affordable enough for small businesses. So stop wondering if your business is on the right track and know for sure with data to back it by using Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. Research Raccoon. Any question, anytime.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get 30% off everything with the Black Friday sale happening at Untuck It's 80-plus stores and untuckit.com. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels and easy wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss 30% off everything for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift at your nearest Untuck It store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
El Paso's News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Talking about Father Pinto today in this hour and a little bit the second hour, but also we're going to talk the second hour about one of Father Pinto's main churches, Sacred Heart, and how there's a fundraiser to renovate it. We'll get to some of that in a minute. And Sam, you're coming up. You'll have about a nine-minute segment here. So let me just tell you real quick about Patrick Tuttle, 588-1850, 588-1850. Call him up, ring his pocket. He's a real estate dude, knows what he's doing. I've been through both sides of his buying and selling, and he's got it figured out. So work with him when you can. Also, he does rentals. You can rent from him or to him, either way, through him. But anyway, 588-1850 for Patrick Tuttle. Good dude, knows what he's doing in real estate. Mission Del Rey, they've got a special going on. They're stocked up for the visitors and for the Christmas season. Popular tie-dyed shirts and hoodies. Get yourself a hoodie. Great stuff for visitors and for gifts. They've got an opening today and Monday through Friday, and also Saturday. Today, all the Saturdays through December 31st, and today is Tuesday, is actually today's Black Saturday again, November 28th. They're doing Black Friday was yesterday. Today they're having, meaning the here's the point. They've got a big deal on percentage off. They're offering 20% off all radio show listeners. So if you got no place else to go or you want to just sneak in there, do the social distancing, wear the mask in a bit, but 20% off of everything in the store today for radio show listeners. Get out there and check out the discount. And the Black Friday coupon code is Leon, L-E-O-N, in honor of Leon Metz. So get a hold of them on there. And if you want to talk to them, you can get a hold of them, 440-2140. They're at Lee Trevino Pelicano. It's an easy way to get to once you do it once, and they'll guide you through that. So looking further at other things to do here today, we've got Sam Sanchez on the phone. Sam, you wrote a book, didn't you, on San Lazario? Yes. What is that book?
It's called Pirates in the Desert, and it's handled by at the organization in Los Portales so far.
Okay.
You want to say something about that?
You can actually buy the book at Portales there. And is there some place we can buy it online? Maybe Ray can tell us. Say your son, there, I think, is sitting there.
Yeah, Ray can say.
Hello. Yeah, we're setting up a new website for my dad's book and his artwork. We are having prints made of his color pieces.
Oh, cool.
Of his career. And that website will be coming on live soon. Not live yet, but we will make sure to share with El Paso history. But as a teaser, it will be called SanchezSouthwest.com.
And that could include all of you guys, because you guys are all historians. Thank you.
It will include what, you know, arts and crafts in the family, but it will feature my dad's artwork to be sold, you know, for prints, as well as the book that he wrote, which is a brief survey of the history of the entire area.
Oh, cool. You're going to put some reenactment footage on there, I hope, of not only what you do, but what Vince does as well?
You know, that would be lots of fun.
Do that. Think about that.
All things Sanchez.
Exactly.
El Paso history from the Sanchez point of view, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. But we'll be back when it's all launched, and maybe you'll give us some time to let everybody know about
Let us know, because you guys in the Sanchez crowd there have been doing El Paso history for several generations, not just you two. You had a previous generation, I believe, as well.
That's right. Yeah, we inherited the history bug. Like my father mentioned, from our grandfather, his dad, who settled in San Elizario and participated in the reenactment of the first commissioner's court in 1950 was the was the celebration down in San Eli of the 100 years of the county seat of El Paso being named down in San Eli. So from that legacy, we just sort of picked it up and ran with it, and so here we are today.
I can tell you, just real quick, we need to get back to Sam and Father Pinto, but San Elizario was one of the most historic places in El Paso County and remains there. You got the Billy the Kid jail, et cetera. We'll get to that in another day, but by God, you guys are doing a great job down there promoting it. Let's talk to Sam again and talk to Sam about Father. Give us some idea on Father Pinto, the scope of what he did, because he would buy land somehow. He'd get the money, for, I guess, from his parishioners, and then put a church on it.
You know, I'm getting to it, and then maybe within the second hour, if I don't have time for this 1 hour, we can touch on that eventually, you know. The Sacred Heart Church and School is the most important one because it's going to renovation and all that.
Oh, yeah. Now that's coming up. So
in July of 1892, the month that Father Carlos Pinto awarded the contract for Sacred Heart Church and School in the city of El Paso to Richard Caples, Sister Magdalene Dietz, she was the superior at the school at St. Joseph's Academy in San Elizario, accepted the request of Carlos Pinto to transfer the St. Joseph's Academy from San Elizario to the city of El Paso. That's when he was moved. And now Father Pinto felt comfortable that he had at least the nuns in San Elizario. The same Reverend Peter Borgate, who brought the Sisters of Florero to San Elizario in 1879, later in May of 1885, became Bishop of Tucson, Arizona, and on January 7, 1899, he was appointed Archbishop of Santa Fe, New Mexico. So there you have it. At last, on his appointment to El Paso, Texas, Father Carlos Pinto found scope for his zeal and untiring energy. He saw at once the need for more church buildings. After a short time in El Paso, he decided that the bonds of faith in this pioneer region were not strong enough to fuse together the English-speaking and the Spanish-speaking Catholics. They were two people of distinct origins and traditions and cultures. He would have to build a church for the English-speaking Catholics and one for the Spanish-speaking Catholics. 10 lots were purchased on South Oregon Street between 4th and 5th Street. Here he planned to build a church for the Spanish-speaking people and a school, both of which were to be dedicated to the Sacred Heart. At the same time, he purchased on the southeast corner of Merrill Avenue and North Campbell Street, three lots for the new church for the English-speaking people was to be erected. The contract for both churches was awarded simultaneously to Richard Capos on July 25th, 1892. Father Pinto finally had his sisters in El Paso. St. Joseph's Academy was also transferred to the city of El Paso and later became Loreto Academy and was staffed by the Sisters of Loreto at the foot of the cross. The untiring worker, Carlos Pinto, had labored inaccessibly between the years 1892 and 1914 to build the churches of the Sacred Heart, Immaculate Conception, St. Ignatius, Guardian Angel, and St. Rosalia's, and now as the superior, the Jesuits in
Somewhere down in there, Sam, he also built the church in Smeltertown.
Oh, yeah, the ones up there, yes. He was, you know, when we say El Paso, everything was south of the border at that time. Yeah, well, actually, not when Pinto was here, but at the beginning, you know, everything was referred to El Paso. It means El Paso, which is now Juarez.
Del Norte, yeah.
Yeah, Paso del Norte.
Right.
He was fathering plans of Reverend Edward Berry, pastor of the Immaculate Conception Parish for a new church in El Paso. The growth and development of El Paso were typical of the great changes that were taking place in Arizona and southern New Mexico.
Well, Sam, real quick, when the railroads hit the fan here in 1881, everything changed. All kinds of people started showing up. Because you had the traditional Catholics coming up from Mexico, but all of a sudden the white Catholics showed up. And that's why Father Pinto figured out he needed two separate kinds of churches for speaking languages. And what a genius guy he was with that touch. All right, we're going to take a break, Sam. Come back. We'll have about a six-minute segment, and we'll talk more about this. It has to go this way today, Sam. We got too much to do. So hit some highlights when we come back, and we'll do that with you. Sam Sanchez Sr. from San Elizario from the Sanchez Group. And great historians down there. Andrew, hit the button. We're back in a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Rules are made to be broken. That's why Northern Tool is starting Black Friday now with up to 75% off power tools, pressure washers, shop equipment, and more. Shop in-store or online and get it curbside. We make our own rules. Black Friday is on at Northern Tool and Equipment. Quality tools for serious work.
Northern Tool and Equipment has the lowest prices of the year on hundreds of items. This week, save $50 on their Arcan Black Line 3.5-ton floor jack. Now only $129.99.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than 1 million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe. And most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Safeguard against germs this cold and flu season. Safeguard hand soap with micellar deep cleansing washes away 99% of germs, even down to the pores, leaving hands clean and hydrated. Safeguard against germs by hand washing with Safeguard.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands' only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have Sam Sanchez on the phone here. We'll talk more about the Father Pinto in a moment, about 5 minutes are coming up, Sam. We want to let you know, though, as part of the 60th Annual Hall of Honor, the El Paso County Historical Society has recognized four people whose achievements have brought integrity and recognition to the community. Rick Francis, Maud Craig Sampson Williams, William J. Hooten, and Janice Woods Wendell. Virtually being honored this year, they'll have a banquet later in 2021. Rick Francis, chairman and CEO of West Star Bank, well known for his civic and charitable activities. Maud Craig Sampson Williams, 1880 to 1958, was a suffragette, teacher, civil rights leader, and community activist. William J. Hooten was the editor of El Paso Times, 1940 to 1970. Janice Woods Wendell, well known for her accomplishments as an author and her decades of work with the El Paso Community Foundation. All right, Sam, get into it about Father Pinto. We got about 5 minutes here.
5 minutes, okay. The special needs of the people of Arizona could not be served as they should unless the Diocese of Tucson was limited to the state of Arizona. He pleaded, therefore, that the territory in the extreme southern part of New Mexico be separated from the Diocese of Tucson. In March 3, 1914, the Diocese of El Paso was finally ordered. At the beginning of his tenure, Bishop Schuller, who became the first bishop of El Paso, was faced with problems of an almost unsurmountable nature. The following statistics are gathered from the official Catholic directory. To administer to the spiritual needs of his flock of 64,000 Catholics scattered over an area of 68,394 square miles, he had but 31 priests included in his young diocese, where 22 parishes, 58 missions, 3 academies, 9 parochial schools, and 3 Catholic hospitals. Father Pinto had spent almost 50 years of his life in the missionary labor. 25 of these had been spent in El Paso. Suddenly and without warning of explanation, he was transferred to a strange land. He was a holy priest, but he had a human heart. What afflicted him most was the inactivity so suddenly and so mysteriously thrust upon him. Father Pinto suffered his death night of the soul from April 27, 1917, until he returned to his beloved El Paso. But when his spirit became more firmly fixed on God, the realities of eternity stood out before him more and more distinctly. The trials that had come upon him so suddenly at the age of 76 serve him now as a treasury of strength, and from this treasury he drew the grace of to look upon his approaching death not as a sorrow, but as a going forth into a better life. On Wednesday, November the 5th, 1919, 2 days after he had quietly celebrated the feast of his patron saint, St. Charles Borromeo, at 12:40 p.m. in his room at Sacred Heart Rectory, he passed away peacefully. The grave of Reverend Carlos Pinto is in the Concordia Cemetery in El Paso.
Oh, yes. And every year, a guy named Rick Melendres goes out there and cleans the grave. He's got a great picture that he has of the gravesite with a portrait of Father Pinto. All right, Sam Sanchez, a couple of things just to let you know. We've got Gio Macias was talking about Jesuit High School located East El Paso on Yerma Land, off of Loma Land. In 1973, it became Hillcrest Junior High School. And then
it was in that area that the Jesuits had the school out there.
And some guy named Vince Sanchez put in Yermo. Okay, that's we know who he is. And it's interesting to watch the comments on Facebook come in. But, Sam, this is an interesting history of El Paso, like I mentioned before, to have major players that we know of generally from the mayor's races, and we talk about the politicians that have come through to the future. But people need to know about the Catholic leaders. I mean, this is before the Diocese of El Paso was even formed. And can you mention once more time the list of churches? I mentioned Smeltertown. I know there was one in Juarez that he established. And you had a list of a couple of others there offhand.
Yeah, I've got the ones that were 22 parishes.
Oh, my.
58 missions, 3 academies, 9 parochial schools, and 3 Catholic hospitals.
Did he help establish the Loreto Academy out there at the time on the edge of town, now in the middle of town, on I guess it's on Trowbridge right there?
Yeah, that's where he was located after he moved from San Elizario. It was established there at the
now. I tell you, that was an ambitious move, because when they did that, that was serious desert and nothing else going on out there. That was the end of the earth for El Paso, and they put that at the very last part had a street, I think, in that part of El Paso. So I got to tell you, Father Pinto had a very big vision, I believe, on what was to come and become El Paso. And our hats off to him for helping establish the Catholic world that we now have here in El Paso, because it was a fabulous vision, I guess. Or maybe he was just an ambitious dude and said, I'm going for the edges of town, and here I come. What a guy. So, Sam, stand by for second hour. We're going to get we'll have more of your discussion on Father Pinto, but we're going to also add in a couple of dudes that you may become familiar with, because they may enlist your help in helping fundraise for that Sacred Heart Church. They're going to renovate the church. And once the Rafael Garcia, the padre there, once he got a hold of Max Grossman, I told him, you got a firebrand on your head, dude. This is going to be fun to watch Max and him work. Anyway, second hour, we'll get into that. Sam Sanchez, stand by. Back after the news.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.